This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's hour number two of the nation. As we're off and running here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. The Autoflex Leasing Fantex is on fire. Brian, the Cowboy fans, they gather around at 2:40 to listen to your content. We were talking about Quinnen Williams and the possibility of trading the Cowboys' second-round pick to the Jets for the big defensive tackle out of Bama. Could solidify, give you a big strong man right there in the middle of your defensive front, slow down the running and whatnot. And Mike Bassick was listening. He texted into my cell phone on the idea of, well, the Jets are a pathetic franchise, so that's why he might not be playing well for them. You know where Mike was going with that, right?
Sure. What's different about the Cowboys?
Yeah.
We're going nowhere. He would give the same effort here, and we don't pay defensive tackles. Those are good points for Mikey B. I'm not sure if they're going to continue not paying defensive tackles. I think Mike McCarthy had a pretty extensive track record of valuing defensive line pretty high, didn't he?
He was always they always had one or two guys that he would that they pay. I mean, with Daniels and guys like that, they were. But yeah, he was kind of searching the barrel too. You know, he was always, hey, bring these guys in, and then all of a sudden that guy would play to a good level, and then they'd have to pay him, kind of a thing. So yeah, the Packers are one of those teams that really don't want to pay anybody. You know, that's that was their MO there for a long time with Ted Thompson, but. Yeah, Mike, yeah, they've got a lot of work to do, and they know that as well.
Reggie from Uptown, love you guys on G-Bag, but can we be honest for once? 25-plus years, and it's the same results. This team has had talent after talent after talent. I hear you, Reggie, you know, and it's not coming together. I feel like they've been close, but there is something that feels snake-bit about this organization, whether it's the ball in Seattle or – you know, Wade Phillips,
third
the team
19.
Giving up on him.
19 against Green Bay.
Kind of so many things. Dez caught it.
Dez caught it. Yeah.
These Cowboys have been better than the Lions in Washington, but I think they keep that company as far as teams that haven't made the conference championship game in 2.5 decades for some legitimate reasons. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think the Cowboys make that bed and they lay in it, and there's some serious questions. That being said, they're close enough. They could win with this series of questions. But if you want to be a consistent winner and get to the top, and I think they need to process decisions a little bit better. All right, Sean and RJ, we're talking to Jerry Jones about some of those decisions this morning. And salute to Jerry for joining us here on The Fan twice a week and giving us his honest opinion on a lot of things. To be fair to Sean, I think he was going for a give and take, but let's listen to how it got set up here and ended up with a bit of a Jerry explosion that had the interview going viral. This line of questioning started with, as far as the GM, how much blame do you take for when the talent on the field's not good enough?
As much as you give me when you're talking about how great the talent is. I think you basically step up there and see that it's a joint effort. Has been forever, and it's a joint effort. Have a lot of input, have input from some of the best there are in terms of opinions, in terms of what we're deciding to do. Have lived a life of being able to determine when there's too much input, but don't confuse the ultimate decision with a single-minded decision. That's not the way it works. Never has worked that way. Didn't work that way from the first day I walked through this door. And I've had the last say on everything since I bought the team in 1989, period. And
Jerry,
that just isn't how it works.
Okay, so there you could hear Sean interrupt Jerry, I believe, for the first time in the interview, with the cadence being off a little bit, and that kind of sets up rhythmically where it goes. But as far as the substance of the answer there, he likes to remind people of that because they won three championships as a result early on.
Yeah.
He's saying, same guy.
No, and you're right, General. And one of the things I learned working for him was that, you know, he does not want – there were times where Larry Lacewell, and I know this is way, way back, but there was times where Larry Lacewell took a lot of crap for the drafts that the Cowboys had, you know, and Jerry always deflected it. He didn't want Lace to take any of the crap because he wanted to be able to say when it was good and he was going to get the credit. So he wanted, if you were going to talk about how bad things were, blame it on Jerry, because when it became good, he wanted to be able to say, okay, I told you, we fixed this thing. We did what we had to do. That's just my experience working with him and how he always – it always bothered him when somebody got the blame other than him. It really, really did.
And on top of that, I think – I don't know if it's his approach, but a lot of teams – and I don't think this is his approach based on what you just said – but a lot of teams prefer to almost build it like it's ambiguous. You can't really tell who's actually making the decisions and who's in charge, and that's genuinely to protect guys so you can't get the torches and the pitchforks demanding that somebody be fired when really there were a lot of people that goes into the decisions. But I like holding Jerry accountable. You're the owner of the team, and you want to be that involved. I think ultimately the tone, the culture, the execution, a lot of that stops at your desk.
Yeah, no, I think that's why you have it the way it is, General. I think that's why him and Steven are so upset right now, because they know that they see it, but they, you know, it's when they get upset with us, it's kind of because like, man, I hear your question. I know it. You're right, but I have to say this or I have to say that. And you know, we would like for him to be a little bit more like, hey, this is my plan going forward. That's all I think everybody really, really wants. What's your plan going forward right now?
I normally picture Jerry as a take-the-blame guy, but upon re-listening to that answer, I think that was a guy that was refusing the blame.
Hmm. Like, wow. In what way?
So can we let's rerun the cut if we can, because the way I heard it was he was saying, like, how much blame do you take? And he was saying, as much credit as you guys give me when it's going well. And I think he's saying that people don't give him credit when it goes well. They give it to other people. So he's not going to take the blame now.
Oh, that's interesting.
Not,
yeah.
That's kind of the way I heard it.
Here we go.
As much as you give me when it's, when you're talking about how great the talent is, I think you basically step up
and. Or do you feel like he does get all the credit or a lot of credit when the talent is good?
No, I think he's saying y'all don't give me a lot of credit when this thing's successful.
Yeah,
saying I'm not taking the blame. Like, this is a group effort. This isn't me. Now, if it goes well, he'll want it.
I mean, people are so complicated, and sometimes they're not even aware of their own motivations for things. But, yeah, I could interpret that either way. I do definitely see your point that – you know, and maybe that's what annoys him, is he can't quite control the narrative to be the guy that's absolutely seen as the one in charge. And I'll say it again, if you don't do the work, and it's obvious when you talk that you think his name is Kristen Hill, people ain't going to give you the credit. You don't know their players. Your son didn't either. He called him Biadas for 5 months after you drafted him. Okay? Y'all don't get credit. If you knew how to pronounce all of your players' names, maybe it would be credible statements. Cut six. Was that me getting fired? Did I just get thrown off the boat?
No, I don't have any bombs, so that's the bomb for today. Splash, man.
I love our new sound effects.
Yeah, you're killing it, bro.
Does McCarthy have I like that. That's a cool new knowledge bomb. Does McCarthy have a control issue with this team? Here was the next one.
To the extent that no one ever controls to some degree what is happening out here with us today. We have almost 45% of our salary cap that isn't even on the field. It's not even out there, son. 45% of it. We have it in critical areas that we counted on. That offensive line and the running game was going to be the strength of what we have. We knew going in, you better be careful counting on your quarterback being a running threat, because what? He'll get hurt. Mm. And so when you look at what we're dealing with and the adjustments that we're having to make, the question of control, or does he have the ability to make any adjustments, get any coach to do what he wants them to do, basically put out there any formation we want, absolutely, within the aspect of the assets and tools that we have. But the answer is yes. That was one of the things that we wanted here when we made a change in our coaching after Jason Garrett, is we wanted someone, by the way, we wanted someone that in case the you-know-what hit the fan, that had the credibility and had the doability to do what? Stand tall and strong as the head coach. And he's doing that. The answer to your question, the answer is yes. He's doing that in the face of adversity. Anybody without a resume, anybody without experience can do it when it's all going good. But that's not football. It's never going all good.
So you hear that cadence again. You hear him. You think he's done. This is all setting up here to cut seven, the explosive finale. And I do believe in Coach McCarthy. I don't think there's a control issue. I don't think there's a leadership issue. It's not the reasons they lose. He hit it. 40% of the team sitting on IR in the trainer's room. But we talk about this stuff when they're losing and the bigger picture problems. You know, like the 325 says, honestly, G-Bag, I just want hope again. It doesn't matter if it's through a rebuild or with Dak to lead a team. I just want hope. And that's what, you know, right now is when we talk about those kind of things. How likely is it that this front office gets the team back in a spot where you can have hope and true belief that they're going to get back to that team that was? And how they process decisions in adversity, how they handle this adversity is the ultimate time to evaluate that. But here we go. Next question from Sean and RJ and the give and take here that went viral. Sean asked about leadership, and Jerry told him what for.
Does your team have a leadership void?
Where in the offensive line? Where
just overall where, when
seriously,
these?
But seriously. Where would you have a leadership void? Is it an experience void? Is it a talent void? Is it a leadership void? I'm not trying to be cute here. The answer is no. The answer is no.
There's not a
– well, just shut up and let me answer. No.
No.
Jerry, when you go into the locker room, what I'm asking is, do you see the intangibles?
You're not asking me that. I gave you the answer. When I go into the locker room, there's no leadership void in my eyes.
Okay.
Now that's your answer. Let's move on.
He was trying to be cool there. And when he said, well, shut up and let me answer it, I thought, yes, he's annoyed, but he was also trying to be a little playful in there. You know him so much better, though, Brian. You interpret Jerry's vibe coming out of that.
No, I mean, you know, this is serious stuff to him. You know, when you start questioning things, and trust me, I like I said, the crosstalk, I've sat in that room and interrupted him before, and he's dropped F-bombs on you and yelled at you and stuff like that, and you're like, okay, you know, you're the boss, and, you know, you get caught sometimes trying to make a point, and you're trying to, and I understand what Sean was doing. Sean saw the direction that the answer was going, and he wanted to make sure that he got it answered the way he asked the question.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where the give and take is right there.
Well, because Jerry will almost offend you a little bit with his refusal to answer your exact question. If you're questioning and you're like, man, did my question not, did he not understand me? So you're kind of wondering, do I need to rephrase the question?
I think that's
did
exactly.
Did he not hear it properly?
Yeah, that's exactly what Sean was trying to do. He was trying to make sure you're like, okay, I meant to ask the question this way. You know, and make sure that, and, you know, Jerry could say, well, let me say, did I misunderstand you for your question? And he tried to ask Sean in what way? Offensive line, quarterback. I mean, he was trying to get him to pin it down.
Yeah, but then he tries to answer, and when you're like, okay, well, then I'll just try to rephrase it.
Exactly.
So you can get my actual question. Shut up! Like, hold on, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask the question.
I think people get really frustrated when they're under pressure and they can't control the narrative. And this is a narrative that Jerry can't control, but he feels the need to. Go down and talk to Mike about how he does it. He just shrugs his shoulders, says it's part of where we are. You know, people say stuff, we're losing, we suck. It's a microcosm of where we are. 325 says, G-Bag. Having the Joneses proven they can't get us close, we haven't done anything in 25 years. They've been good enough to win, I think, three times. since 96?
Nobody wanna,
maybe even nobody as many as five if you look back at 07 and stuff.
Had home field advantage all through 2016 in the playoffs, you know? I mean, most teams have that situation, do get it done, get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think they can get close. They can't finish the fight. Those were some great videos. I mean, they've done everything in their power, thrown the kitchen sink at it, tried to spend all the money. I think what it takes is a visionary in the front office, a visionary at coach who is capable of outthinking a lot of the league. You don't have to outthink the entire league on everything, but quite a bit of things, consistently be in the top five and outworking people. And, Jerry's the best at making money.
Well, I think that's the disappointment that you interviewed two guys. You went with the same guy for 10 years, and then now you interview just two guys. You know, maybe that's disappointing to him. Yeah. Like, did I really do my due diligence? People are questioning my due diligence right now. Not only for my roster, but what I did in this coaching search. You know, and maybe he's disappointing that he allowed Mike McCarthy to sell him on these assistants.
I would say that. I would say, man, you had a crap process, but you might have found the right head coach.
Sure.
But you weren't on top of it enough to insist that his assistants were going to fit what you had going on, if you had any hopes of contending this year. Fish is coming up next. Mike Fisher, he's at Fish Sports on Twitter. Double Insider has the Cowboys and Mavs locked next in the nation. Oh, there's a lot to talk about. G-Bag Nation, Cowboys Nation, hope you're having a great day. Thanks for making us part of it. Segment is brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels, 214-333-3333 or online at truckwreck.com. Fish has the very latest on personnel changes, a scoop on Cowboys defensive trade ideas, the scoop on Ryan Fitzpatrick, and more. And it's brought to you by Soda, state-of-the-art weight loss. How the hell you doing,
He's
Fish?
In the
outstanding, boys. And, yeah, this is NFL trade season and rumor season, and it's really fun. So let's spend a little time digging to the bottom of that. I do want to give a tip of the cap to the RJ and Choppy show this morning. And you guys know this very well, whether it's, you know, whether it's an interview with Jerry Jones or Stephen Jones or Will McClay or whatever, especially with Jerry, certainly you've got to give him his room to operate. Right, Gavin? You got to give him
sir.
His room.
Yep.
But you also have to sometimes wrestle with him. And I thought what Sean did this morning was really good radio and entertaining and stuff, but it was also very informative. And Jeffrey, you mentioned something yesterday about, I was listening yesterday and you said, sometimes people on Twitter come at you or come at us because they're like, why don't you just crush that guy when you have him on the air? Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And the answer, I thought your answer was really good because we're trying to maintain a relationship with this guy who's a guest. It's funny that we do that on Twitter, but like nobody really walks up to anybody. You don't walk up to Stephen Jones or Will McClay in a bar if you're a fan and go, man, do you suck? It's just not the way people really talk. So if there's a way to get them to say, man, I had a bad game on Sunday, I really sucked, that's the trick. The other aspect of this that I think is always worth pointing out, even though it's the RJ and Choppy show, Mr. Jones has the right to kind of think it's his show too, doesn't he?
I think so, yeah, yeah. And, you know, it is the Jerry Jones show. It's a little bit different than a one-off interview. You know, I think all those things are very appropriate to keep in mind. You know, and I think as well what you said in there, you really try to get them to be honest. And sometimes the best way to get somebody to be honest is to badger them, but they're not going to talk to you again. Okay, you get one of those. So the other way is to make them feel comfortable and trusting. So you try to lead in with softballs on that and then sneak in the tough question. But sometimes they're so sensitive because losing and having it happen publicly hurts so much, you can't even subtly phrase a question about their failure without it triggering them. So
right,
yeah,
and then Gavin, and then of course you guys also know this, Brian. You know it for decades. One of the joys of working with Jerry Jones is he's like that Bozo the Clown doll that I had when I was a little baby, where there's, you know, you got a red nose that you punch and it's inflatable and there's sand in the butt. You know what I'm talking about? And you punch him right in the nose and he comes right back up smiling. And so by the end of Jerry's interview, he's not really mad anymore, and maybe he wasn't even mad at all. Maybe he needs to show how mad he is at the world because his football team deserves his ire way more than Sean and RJ do. But at the end, he's a GN and a Han. It's just between us girls, and it's all fun again. And he recognizes, I think very astutely, that Sean Sharif in this interview and Jerry Jones were two bulldogs. They were fighting over a steak. And at the end of it, they decided to share the steak and cuddle up, and it worked out just fine.
It was good radio. And by the way, Fish, I don't know when that doll came out. My toy awareness starts, I believe, with Hungry Hungry Hippo in 82.
Brian Broaddus, the punchable, inflatable clown doll?
He's not, yeah, he's right. I just didn't want to acknowledge it yet, but he's right about that. It had sand in the bottom. It had sand in the base. It was real tall. Yeah, it was like
those were fun.
It was like a tackling dummy, and it had Bozo's face on it. It had sand in the very bottom, and when you did hit it, it came right back up.
Just like you guys know that I start with Micro Machines, Cabbage Patch Kids, and G.I. Joe's.
Hungry Hungry Hippo is an underrated game, by the way.
And Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Rock'em Sock'em Robots is another good one, too.
Yeah. Okay, so Jerry mentions this morning personnel changes. Where are we going here? Are we starting with
the offensive line?
I wonder if there's – I don't know this because they didn't practice today. I hung out at the Star, and I was the only one there. Do they have enough time to tell Zach Martin, let's do best five and let's make you a tackle? Is there time to do that, Brian? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday?
Sure there is.
I'd like him to.
He's an all-pro. They did it with Larry Allen. I mean, I hate to go way back in the day, but, you know, guys are – you know, if you're trying to win these games, if you think like, okay, we have got to get better, you know, and Jeff and I are going to talk about this probably at 4:20 today, you know. Good. You're in a situation where you're going to have to get your best five out there. You can no longer play with an undrafted rookie at right tackle. You know, your left tackle wasn't terrible in your game the other day, you know, but your right one is your liability.
Okay. And then if you move Zach Martin to right tackle, do you tuck in at guard McGovern? Because Jeffrey, your thoughts was he was okay too, right?
That's why I would do it. I think the biggest offensive line weakness this team has by far is the right tackle. So I thought Connor McGovern showed enough that it's worth keeping him out there, and Zach Martin could play right tackle, and you got your best five.
Joe Looney backs up the guard and backs up the center because the kid from Wisconsin gets to keep the center job, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and then Brian, and Larry Allen's a great example, but what I remember about what especially Tony Wise under Jimmy Johnson did here, like, it was Larry Allen, it was Eric Williams, it was Kevin Gogan, it was John Giesick, it was all of them had all kinds of position flex.
You would kill to have every one of them right now.
My gosh, you'd kill to have just one of them, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Just one of those
guys.
But you don't. No. I mean, but you do have Zach Martin who could do some of those things. But people forget, like, I think it was the first Super Bowl, Mark Stepnoski, great player, was unavailable, was hurt. So John Giesick, who I don't think had ever played center before in a game. They go, Giesick, you go play center. Oh, okay. And they win a Super Bowl with John Giesick at center. Ron Stone, on and on and on, this long list of good players, guys who were on the bench. They'd come into a game. Alan Vinegrad, tackle, tackle, guard, guard. It didn't make any difference. And they didn't care too much about position. So I think that's something to watch. Part of the personnel changes that Jerry might be talking about certainly could have to do with who you move as we approach the November 3rd trade deadline. And exclusive, we broke the story yesterday on the availability of Everson Griffen, the availability of Dontari Poe, and the availability of Darryl Worley. I think we'll all agree, because Darryl Worley doesn't even get any snaps anymore, that he's played his way out of here.
Right? Mike, like
Jeffrey, you.
With Awuzie coming back, do you take Diggs off the field?
I need Diggs to keep getting better. And I don't think Diggs is, quote, the problem. I think this is a learning process that is beneficial for the Cowboys, just like Ben DiNucci. Obviously, you hope Andy Dalton comes back. You're better with Andy Dalton. But if Ben DiNucci needs to play, that's part of the development of this organization, and I think it's important. So I want Diggs involved, but I don't need Worley involved. Jeffrey, you're saying Dontari Poe. Did you say he wasn't bad? No, Jerry said he wasn't bad Sunday, and then
he said Griffin wasn't bad.
Right, and Jeffrey agrees, right? Jeffrey, you thought he had
Griffin, I think Griffin has played his best two games the last 2 weeks, and in order. This week, I think, was his best game, and before that, I think he had had his best game.
Trade him up.
I think the organization believes that it's not a fit here for him. I believe they think it's not a fit here for Poe. I believe they think it's not a fit here for Worley. Problem with you know, who's going to give you, you know, the Michael Bennett 6 and 7 conditional. I'd grab them. I'd take 3, 6, 7 conditionals for those three guys. Other teams obviously are probably going to say, you know what, we'll just wait till you cut them. But Poe, I believe you suffer a couple $1 million dead money on Poe if you cut him. So that would be the guy you'd want to trade. I don't think there's any big loss on releasing Griffin, although, you know, if he's helping you a little bit, fine. Nobody wants him. He can stay around. And then Daryl Worley, who has guessed his way out of a position here. Those are the three guys that we revealed yesterday are kind of top of the chart saying, who wants him, come and get him.
All right, Fish, anything else before we let you go?
Yeah, so one of the Miami newspapers made me have to waste a bunch of time today on Ryan Fitzpatrick. They wrote this big story about how the Cowboys might be interested in Ryan Fitzpatrick. And first I just scratch my head and go, don't they already have a 31-year-old version of Ryan Fitzpatrick? Andy Dalton's not dead, you know. And so I did contact.
Well, you never know. That was a tough one.
He looked like it could have been heading that way for a minute.
You do never know, yeah. I don't know what the Dolphins thinking on this, and I don't know what the newspaper's thinking. The Cowboys tell me that no interest in Ryan Fitzpatrick, even though that story is going to start making the rounds here. They're very comfortable with Andy Dalton. And add this too, and this goes, by the way, for any trade that you make. You've got to spend 5 days now when you go to your new team in the testing bubble. So you make a trade tonight, and that player arrives in Dallas Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Oh, he's in the bubble. He misses the game anyway. So if you want to make a trade that allows you to put a player on the field in week 9, you better hurry up and make it now. And that includes the Cowboys sending guys out. Ryan Fitzpatrick not coming here, I don't think. And guys going out, I believe, is a distinct possibility sooner rather than waiting till Tuesday.
Got to run, Fish. We'll catch up with you tomorrow, buddy. Have a good night.
Salute.
There he goes. He's at Fish Sports on Twitter. We have time for 16 seconds on soccer. Little football news for you across the pond. Look at this. Barcelona fans, Messi, very happy as president of Barcelona, Josep Maria Bartomeu, has resigned along with the entire board of directors. He gone. So, yeah, probably should have done that a while back. Wouldn't have had that ugly incident with Messi. Might still have all your players on your team.
It's kind of happy those, now?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, he's got to be happy.
Cool.
If you follow people overseas, they'll tell you, though, that was a long time coming there. They were ready for that to happen months ago. So.
All right. Baseball stuff's been a long time coming today because we have a World Series Game 6 tonight. Could be quite a celebration for Kershaw and his buddies here in DFW tonight. If you see them out and about, it would be because they are World Series champions and they would have been victorious tonight against the Rays. How much is it going to cost for you to get in the building tonight if you're a baseball fan? You want to join them, check out that Game 6 action, see a little history. We have a Corona World Series champion that could be crowned tonight. Is any sporting event worth this amount of money? It is next in the G-Bag Nation. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. We have baseball stuff, all your World Series headlines coming up here in just a second. Is there any sporting event that you'd be willing to lay down the amount of cash you would need just to get into the Globe tonight to go check out? Maybe an elimination game involving a championship worth it? Hundreds and hundreds of dollars being thrown around right now via ticketing websites for people that want to get in. And a lot of them are Dodger fans, man. They have come to DFW, and they are ready to represent. We just had the news of the entire board of directors stepping down at Barcelona. Here's a tough question for you guys.
I knew this was coming.
What?
Wouldn't you love it if that could happen with the Cowboys?
Oh!
I'm surprised. I thought that's why you were going to bring it up in the last segment.
Trying to stay on time a little bit better.
I know. You're doing a good job.
I'm trying to get my ass in a sling again already this week with the boss man, Gavin Spittle. But yeah. If the Cowboys did let the Joneses go and all of their support staff, we don't know how to name them by names, would the Cowboys be better off? I know this is incredibly uncomfortable for you, Brian. Many friends and coworkers there from back in the day. We'll start
with hiring, you. Who's hiring the replacements?
It's got to be Jerry.
So Jerry, Jerry gets to hire the board of directors, right? Or do they vote? We vote for the board of directors. What are we doing?
Yeah, but
there?
You're sure Jerry's going to be more of a walk around owner now. He's like, I'm ready to retire, and Steven wants to get into oil, so we're going to sell it.
Mm.
I would guess yes, it would be better. Yeah.
I mean, there's teams that do worse.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't think they're the worst run. I think that they have hurdles that every coaching staff is going to have to clear that other organizations don't have. But they're not the worst, and you can overcome those things because they've been close to doing that. They just haven't won the games in the postseason they got to. But, yeah, I think if you said insert generic owner and hire GM, yeah, I think they would run it better.
I just wish that Jerry wasn't so good at business. So he can, like, you know the thing about
two
it is
to be run separate.
Yeah, well, he's trying to run his business and his football team together, you know. Yeah. And it takes a lot of time to be a GM. I mean, I've always admired him and Steven, the ability they had to do both. But man, it was tough. I remember, you know, we'd have to schedule meetings. You know, we'd be talking about the draft, and we'd have to take breaks, and you know, because they were in big time business deals. I mean, give him credit mm-hmm. for that. But yeah, this is the reason why a guy like Al Davis, and you could say what Al Davis at the end of his career was, you know, he was, you know, a problem. But when he was involved, and that was his job 24/7, there wasn't no oil business or no anything else going on, you know. So if you're going to be an owner and a general manager, you know, it's a 24/7 job.
And it got to be too much for Al too, didn't it?
Well, age caught up. Okay. Age caught up with right. him. Yeah, I mean,
right.
I think
he was good,
Well, I he was a coach. You know, he was a commissioner of the AFL. You know, he had a lot of different titles. They're in the '70s and the '80s, and so they had good teams. But it caught up to him a little bit.
214 says put Will McClay as GM. I'd love that. I absolutely would. I'd like to see him get a shot. Okay. Gonsolin and Snell, your starting pitchers tonight here. Let's do some baseball stuff, a World Series edition. And a big topic on this game tonight, will Tony Gonsolin be the real starter, or will he be an opener like he was in Game 2? The Dodgers bullpen is ready to work. They got three lefties, three righties just standing out there ready to throw heat. But the Dodgers tried the opener thing in Game 2, and they lost, and manager Dave Martinez is insisting that tonight Tony is the real starter. But, I'd say if he struggles in the first couple of innings, you might be in a situation now with a clinching World Series game involving an opener, not even a real pitcher. This story just became a real thing like 2 years ago. I remember Mikey B talking about it in Baseball Nuggets as a theory in 2018. But boom, it debuted in a major way, and you know, has taken on incredible momentum now.
Isn't it the team that the Dodgers playing are the ones that first started it? When Tampa, the first team to really come out with all this, and we were all like, what are they doing?
That's a fun tie-in.
Yeah. I think it's unusual, but that's how you get it. I was amazed, like, when Game 7, it seemed like every, when they were trying to get into the World Series, every inning was a different pitcher.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in an era where it was like, you know, the Bob Gibson era, where they just stayed out there the whole time, you know?
Yeah, I hear you, man. It's crazy how... You know, but they found it now, actually, the numbers of hitters you can get through. It's the 21st through 24th hitter that it's going to break down. Unless you are absolutely exceptional, you can't, incur a 20 or 30% drop in your success probability and still be better than the relievers.
Now you guys, those numbers are good. I mean, that's how you figure those things out. It works.
Yeah. Roof's definitely going to be closed. Man, this is wintry. It got cold. I went outside this morning. I was like, holy cow. I had to go back in there for a coat just to take Abby to school, dude. That was legit cold winter weather. It's like we're northeastern city or something for a couple of days here. We'll bounce back. But
I forgot to take the jacket out there, too. I had I got a big golf game Thursday, so I had to go to the Cairo. And I was planning to go shorts, tennis shoes, and a nice fleece or something over the long sleeve tee. But I forgot to put it on, and once I get outside, I'm gone. So I took my punishment. It's cold out there. It's cold out there.
It is.
Making me second guess my golfing.
I mean, it's gonna be
nice.
Degrees.
No, it's gonna be nice Thursday, Friday. It's gonna
40
be nice.
Something.
Yeah, you'll be
fine.
It
was in the 30s overnight. I had to turn the heat up pretty good there. Okay, it's $800 to get in the building tonight. Can you guys believe that? All that demand. I thought surely there's not gonna be that much demand. I'll be able to hanker on in there for maybe $125 or something. You get on there, though, it's over $800. That's for the worst ticket.
Yeah.
I had a feeling they would be really, really high because I've had a couple of different people during the World Series ask me if I wanted to go, like had tickets.
Were you at $335? Maybe the same offer?
I think one was a 335.
Yeah, I was there too.
We both had the same Chuck offer.
Chuck offered us that, yeah.
And then I had another one that was offered that was even more than that. So, yeah, it's been very expensive. And I guess that makes sense because of the rarity, because you're not allowed to fill it up. I guess it makes sense, but yeah.
Well,
that ain't for me.
Yeah, and you're also the Dodgers hadn't done this since 1988, right? Yeah, this is the last time they won a World Series?
I think so. Kirk Gibson right against
the
A's.
Yeah, I think maybe in the flights, it doesn't seem like anybody's really jumping on airplanes maybe. Hey, let's get a flight from L.A. to Dallas, and away we go. It's worth it. See your team win one.
Well, they figured out a way to get here. A bunch of Dodger fans have. And at the end of Game 5, have you guys seen some of the cell phone videos that are out or maybe just from the telecast of how loud it was?
Oh, yeah.
At the end, they've won Game 5, 4-2. They're going on to Game 6. And the Dodgers fans were holding it down. There was a legit roar. I'm not going to say like it's a big full stadium roar or anything like that, but you could hear very credible crowd noise.
Do you think it's because of Kershaw that the Texas fans have adopted him? The local fans have adopted him as their guy, and they're adopted the Dodgers.
I think there's a lot of that. Yeah, and I think they've been on a run that's been unfulfilled, so this Dodgers passion and angst has been building for 8 years. And then there's a lot of them with money who are young, you know,
who are like,
let's travel. We'll take a couple of weeks off work, you know. Let the GM handle it, Bob. Let's go.
those
California guys,
Bob.
They got cash.
Yeah.
Got planes. Fly their own planes out here,
probably,
too.
Yeah.
I have my baseball question of the day for you guys.
All right.
I want you to imagine that you're Clayton Kershaw right now. Okay?
Got it.
You are 2-0 in this World Series, and you know, once you win your World Series,
I'll meet you at Milo's, yes.
And you've pitched great in it, then you can put to bed all of the negatives of your entire career, and you'll just be celebrated as the Hall of Famer, one of the greatest left-handed pitchers of all time. But because you're 2-0 with a nice ERA in your starts in the World Series, you're in the conversation for World Series MVP. I don't think you're going to win it right now because Corey Seager is destroying the ball and Max Muncy and Justin Turner, whatever. But I think right now Corey Seager is the World Series MVP. If you're Kershaw, are you willing for one of two things to happen? Do you want your two or three hitters that have been great in this series to do poorly and like win 1-0 tonight so you can get your
absolutely
MVP?
100%.
Are you willing to wish a loss on your team so that
hell
you
no
can go to game 7 no and maybe relieve Walker Buehler?
No, that's Mike Bassett stuff.
No, absolutely not. Let's end this thing tonight.
But you are cheering for your team to struggle at the plate so that you can have a chance to be the World Series MVP
after we get ahead 100%. Yeah.
after we're ahead.
Yeah.
We get ahead. We're ahead. Cheer.
Yes, I want the MVP.
Because look, Seager right now has an OPS. Yeah.
We have six rested relievers. We're good. Sorry, Jeff.
Okay, so like right now, Corey Seager is batting almost 500, on base is over 600. His OPS is 1,400. So in the back of your mind, if you're Kershaw, you're kind of hoping Seager goes 0-4 in your win, right?
We might need 0-6 to bring it down to range. Holy cow. Okay. I didn't know his numbers were like that. It might be impossible. I might just want him to go 4-4 and we'll just walk it.
I have a feeling the writers are going to give it to him anyway. They're going to give it.
You think so?
Yes. Yeah,
dude,
I do.
Corey Seager, this would be I think this would have to be like the best World Series at the plate.
Yeah, but they're always
MVP.
The pitcher. They're going to give it to the pitcher here. Get ready.
I don't know.
Want to bet a steak?
Yes.
Okay, got a steak.
I want to bet a steak.
Okay.
Now, if Seager goes 0-4 tonight,
you
it
in
doesn't
general?
Count. If Seager goes 0-4, it doesn't count, Brian.
It counts. He bet on Kershaw.
Because you're saying that Kershaw would get it right now.
I'm out.
You're saying
what kind
he would
of crawfishing
get it now.
Is that?
Okay.
Thank
all
you,
right.
General. Stipulation betting is not
we're
allowed
back on
today.
I think you already owe me a steak, so we're back
no,
on.
I pay off. No, I always pay off my bet.
I'm willing to risk it for the biscuit. Let's go. Okay. Bet's on. I'm taking either Seager or Turner or Muncy.
Okay.
We have a bunch of national writers that are out there at the Globe as well, and they have thoughts on your new stadium. We'll do that tomorrow in baseball stuff and review Game 6, maybe talk about the championship celebration and everything. But coming up next, we have a version of Cowboys Twitter, and we'll talk about leadership, okay? We've talked a lot about Jerry Jones and the motivations that set him to go off on Sean, but what about the topic that did set him off, the leadership? Is there a void on this team? It's next in the G-Bag Nation on 105 through the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.